What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 33 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, Present Yourself to God. Douglas Moo once wrote, "Only by constantly looking at ourselves as people who really have died to sin and been made alive in Christ will we be able to live out the new status God has given us." Our text for today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Romans 6 is part of Paul's broader argument in the letter to the Romans regarding sin, grace, and the believer's new identity in Christ. After establishing the doctrine of justification through faith in earlier chapters, Paul addresses a potential misunderstanding. If grace abounds where sin increases, does it mean that believers can continue in sin? That's from Romans 6:1. He emphatically responds, "By no means," in verse 2, and then explains that those who have been baptized into Christ's death have been united with Him, symbolizing their death to sin and new life in righteousness. This sets the stage for the practical implications found in verses 12 and 14. In Romans 6:12, Paul urges believers not to let sin reign in their mortal bodies. This call reflects the internal struggle Christians face. While we're no longer enslaved to sin, we must consciously choose to resist it. The use of the term "reign" implies that sin can exert authority and influence over a person's life if not actively resisted. Paul emphasizes that believers have the power through the Holy Spirit to make choices that align with our new identity. This verse encourages us to maintain an intentional mindset as we live out our faith, recognizing that the battle against sin is ongoing. In verse 13, Paul elaborates on the appropriate response to the struggle. We are to present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. This act of offering suggests a deliberate, voluntary decision to submit our lives to God's purposes. Charles Swindoll explains this concept. "Rather than allowing our physical bodies to be instruments of sin's desire, unrighteousness, we must now present our bodies to our new master, God, to accomplish His desire, righteousness." The Greek word translated "instrument" frequently refers to weapons of war. We are no longer to present our bodies as weapons to be used by sin to accomplish evil ends, but to become foot soldiers in the interest of righteousness. Douglas Moo adds, "The victory over sin that God has won for us in Christ is a victory that must be appropriated. Putting away those sins that plague us will be no automatic process, something that will happen without our cooperation. No, Paul insists a determination of our own will is called for to turn what has happened in principle into actuality. With the words instruments and parts of your body, Paul brings before us a picture of all our varied capacities and abilities, which we are to withdraw from the use of our master, sin, and place at the disposal of our new master, God. It is righteousness, that standard of right behavior God reveals to us, that we are now to serve." The phrase, "as those who have been brought from death to life," reminds us that we share in Christ's resurrected life. It highlights the life-changing experience of salvation, where we not only escape the penalty of sin, but we are empowered by God to live righteously. In other words, we should live like we have been spiritually resurrected. Paul's assertion in Romans 6:14 that sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace summarizes the essence of the Christian experience. Under the law, sin produces condemnation and guilt, but grace transforms that relationship, offering forgiveness and empowerment. This grace is not a license to sin, but rather the divine enablement to live holy. This shift from law to grace signifies a new covenant relationship with God, where love and gratitude motivate obedience rather than fear of punishment. The implications of Romans 6:12 through 14 are profound for the daily life of a believer. It emphasizes Christians' responsibility to actively pursue righteousness in our spiritual walk, making choices that reflect our new identity in Christ. This involves daily reliance on God's grace to overcome sin and making deliberate decisions to pursue righteousness. Furthermore, it challenges us to view ourselves not just as passive recipients of grace, but as active participants in God's redemptive plan. Today's scripture encourages a lifestyle of transformation rooted in gratitude for God's grace, which leads to a life that honors God and reflects His holiness. Some questions to consider. What does it mean in your daily life not to let sin therefore reign in your mortal body? What practical ways can you present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life? And finally, what does being under grace and not the law have to do with sin not having dominion over you? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.